The book of Luke. The book of Luke, I want you to look at, whether you're Bible, iPad, iPhone. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and verse 22. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized." What's one of the greatest joys of your life, Pastor Benny? You've traveled the world preaching. What was one of the greatest joys of your life? Here was one of the greatest joys of my life. Baptizing Barbara in the Jordan River. Baptizing Barbara. And if many of you I've baptized, I'm going back in July. And it'd be my honor and privilege to baptize you in the Jordan River. Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And then verse 22 says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about how do you know, how do we know that our lives are pleasing to God? How do we know? You know, there are some people that are just constantly negative. I've said there are some people so negative, if they walked into a dark room, they'd develop. Amen? There are people just negative. There's people that would just give an aspirin a headache. Amen? I mean, literally, there's a little boutique where Barbara and I do most of our shopping. I think the name of it's Walmart. And many times when I'm in that store, I see certain people and I'll duck behind the corner and I'll hide because I don't want to ask them how they're doing because I don't have that much time. Amen? You've been there. But there was a man, he was so negative, and he had a friend, and his friend was out one day on the lake, and as he was looking at that lake, he noticed a dog walked up. And this dog wasn't a bulldog, it was just a dog. And this dog walked up, and this dog started walking on the water. And he said, "My goodness, I've never seen anything like that." He said, "My friend that's so negative," and you've got one just like that, "my friend that is so negative," he said, "I'm going to bring him and I'm going to let him see that. He's got to say something positive when he sees that." So the next day he brought his friend out, and sure enough, that dog was walking on the water. And he said to his friend, "What about that?" And his friend said, "That dog can't swim, can he?" You know what I know? There are certain people, there's just no way that you can please them. But here's what I do know. You can please God. Because Proverbs 16 and 7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord." You can please God. Now let me ask you something, folks. You see, Pastor Benny, my bank account's got more money in it than it's ever had. Our marriage is going wonderful right now. Our children are doing great in school. All of my children are healthy. Brother Benny, you ought to see that new Ford truck that I've purchased. Pastor, you ought to see the boat that we're taking to the lake. We're so excited how much we're enjoying it. Brother Benny, I know with all the good things that are happening, my life must be pleasing to God. Well, let me say something. None of that has anything to do with whether or not God's pleased with you. None of that has not anything to do. You say, "Well, Brother Benny, I've got enough money. I can go get a back rub. I've got a hot tub. I have a drink at the pub." None of that has anything to do with whether or not God's pleasing with you. But I want to talk to you today on how do you know? How do I know? I mean, I'm preaching to me. How do I know that my life pleases God? Because, see, this is what I'm convinced of. God said to Moses, he said, "Mo," and let me tell you, if you had been Mo, he had some hair and curlies there too. Larry and curlies. But he said, "Mo, you're out here in the desert, and I want you to speak to that stone, and I'm going to give the people a drink." And you know what happened? He smote it twice. He smote it twice. Now, water came from the rock. God, still being omniscient, knew that the people needed a drink. But think about this. When Moses did that, he smote the rock instead of spoke to the rock. God said, "Moses, you're not going into the promised land. You're not going to lead the children in. because you've displeased me. But if you had been there, if I'd been there, and he smote that rock, and water started flowing, I would have said, oh, me, Mo is the man. You would have too. Man, could you imagine Pastor Benny smokes a rock, and water starts flowing? You said, man, I'll follow this guy to the jumping off place. But God was sitting in heaven saying, I'm not pleased with you. Let me tell you something. Because the crowd and because the world says everything's wonderful, that doesn't make it wonderful. If you study the Bible, folks, most of the time the majority was wrong. 10 spies said we can't do it. 2 said we can. If you study the Bible, throughout the Bible, most of the time the majority was wrong. So what I'm trying to get you to see, folks, how we see things and how God sees things is totally different. So how do I know, Pastor? Because I want to please God. How do I know that I'm pleasing God? Well, let me make 4 statements. First of all, when God's pleased with me, when God's pleased with you, guess what? He tells us. Look what Luke says. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, now God speaking concerning Jesus, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God the Father told God the Son, I'm pleased. Let me tell you, if God's pleased with us, and when God's pleased with us, he tells us. Well, Pastor Benny, how does he tell us? He tells us with his word. Just like his word to his son, we have, folks. Let me tell you something, folks. We need the Bible. We need the word of God. Most people feel the same way about the Bible as they do Brill Cream, a little dab of do you, but we need the word of God. We need much of the word of God. Now, when he tells us, what does he tell us is pleasing to him? Number one, salvation in Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says this. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. I didn't say that. God said that. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, folks, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want you to know, God loves all people, but he's pleased with people who've put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's pleased with people who've put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. He's not the good way to heaven. He's not a better way to heaven. He's not the best way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Without Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Without him, there is no knowing. Without him, there is no growing. Without him, there is no going. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So if we're going to please him, ladies and gentlemen, it's salvation in Christ. Let me tell you the second way we please him. We please him when we're spirit-led. When we're spirit-led. A lady met me at the door one time, and she said, Dr. Tate, I want to just say something to you. She said, you do something wonderful. And I said, tell me about it. She said, here you are. You bring the Bible down on common people's level. And I said to her, I said, honey, I'm not bringing anything down. I'm on common people's level. That's just who I am. Now, let me share something, folks. Look what the Bible says in Romans 8:8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Explain that to me. Well, Brother Benny, let me quote the next verse and I'll explain it to you. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, let me explain. When you come to know Christ, I'm not trying to make this complicated. I'm trying to make it simple. The Holy Spirit comes inside you. The Holy Spirit comes inside you. Somebody said, well, how do you get him? I like it better when he gets me. Amen? The Holy Spirit comes inside you. And folks, then you have a choice whether or not you lean to the flesh or you lean to the spiritual man. You have a choice whether or not you lean to the spirit or you lean to the flesh. And if we're going to please God, we're going to have to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Not doing what this old flesh wants, but doing what the spiritual man wants. Because see, there's going to be a battle going on. There's a battle between the spiritual man and the fleshly man. There's a battle. I mean, I've often said, folks, you say, what's going on? It's kind of like being a ham sandwich and going to a Jewish picnic. Amen? You're in a battle. But I want you to know, if we please God, we're being led by the Spirit, not led by this flesh. You say, Pastor Benny, I don't think I can live the Christian life. I've got a news flash for you. You can't. You can't live the Christian life. You say, well, it's difficult to live the Christian life. No. It's not difficult to live the Christian life. It's impossible to live the Christian life. You say, well, how can I do it? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to please God, you're going to be Spirit-led. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell us what's right. He'll tell us what's wrong. You say, well, Pastor Benny, what do you mean? Is he constantly speaking? No. You just feel it inside. You just feel it. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't do that. See, folks, you don't need a bunch of rules. The Bible's not a bunch of rules, folks. The Bible's not a bunch of rules. The Christian life is about the Holy Spirit leading you and directing you and showing you what you need to do. It's not a bunch of do's and it's not a bunch of don'ts. It's about the Holy Spirit controlling our lives and showing us what we ought to do. And let me tell you, I'm so glad, folks, that Rock Springs Church packs out, and I'm so thrilled. But there's nothing worse than a full church of half-full people. Salvation in Christ, Spirit-led. But let me tell you something. You say, I want to please God. Sold out. Sold out. Look what Colossians says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You want to please God? Just wave the white flag and say, God, I'm sold out. Lord, you've got all of me. I'm not compartmentalizing part of my life. You've got all of me. A pastor was preaching at a college campus, and a man walked down the aisle. And the pastor said, I looked down, and for legs, he had wooden spikes. And he said, that young man in college there with wooden spikes said to me, Pastor, can God use half a man? And he said, I looked at him and I said, God can use half a man that's totally sold out for God, but he can't use a whole man that's halfway sold out for God. Let me tell you that he tells us salvation in Christ, Spirit-led, sold out. But number four, sharing with others. Look what the Bible says. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. What pleases God? When we share with those in need. When it's about my four and no more, that's not pleasing to God. You get this down. When God blesses us, he always has more than us in mind. Augustine said, God has been so good to me. He's given me more than I need. But he's also shown me others that need it. And folks, when you talk about this, people, their mind, we're in a polluted world, it immediately runs to money. That's not even on my mind. There's so many ways to give. You can give of your time. You can give of your talent. You can give of your personality. You can give of your giftedness. There's so many ways that we can share with others. Because this was a great day in my life. This is a great day in my life. It was a great day in my life when I realized people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you genuinely care for people, that's what really matters. Because that's what we all want. That's what I want. That's what you want. We all want people to care about us. And when we care about people, we're willing to share of ourselves. Let me tell you, when God's pleased, He tells you. But I'll tell you something else. When God's pleased, and by the way, that's the longest point, so don't get scared. When God is pleased, He tests you. When God is pleased, He tests you. I think it was last year over at Athens, Georgia, Kirby Smart had the football team rounded up, and he had this one old boy. He was a big defensive lineman. He just a big old boy, but he wasn't real smart. I mean, just, you know, one of those guys, he was big enough to eat hay and dumb enough to enjoy it. And Kirby got so frustrated with him. Kirby said to him, "I'm going to give you a test." Old boy said, "Okay." Kirby said, "What is 2 plus 2? That old boy thought for a minute. He said, "4. And when he said that, the other players on the team said, "Give him another chance, coach." Look what Luke chapter 4 says. Now get this, folks. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, so we get his spiritual condition, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tested of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he was afterward a hungered. Now wait. God just said, "I'm very pleased with you. But now I'm going to test you." Keep in mind, folks, you say, "Well, Pastor Benny, I'm going through a tough time." Get this down. When I was in school, they taught me a lesson and then I had a test. But what I've learned about life, I have a test that teaches me a lesson. Now, here's what I want you to see, folks. The test was not a sign of God's displeasure. It was a sign of God's pleasure. What I'm trying to say, you say, "Brother Benny, I'm going through a tough time. God must not be pleased with me." No, no, no. You're going through a tough time. It could be an indicator that God is very pleased with you. He's very pleased with you. He just said, "I'm very pleased with my son," but now he's got to go through a test. God may be very pleased with you and you're walking through a test. God may be very pleased with you and you're walking through a trial. Not because I said that, because the Word of God says that. See, here's what I want you to understand. Somebody said, "Pastor, I'm going through a test because I've got to prove my faith to God." Well, let me say something. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Listen, God knows everything. You don't have to prove yourself to God. I heard about a preacher that was preaching one time. He got in a big way preaching, and he said Jesus would roll over in his grave if he knew what was going on in America. Couple things that are not theologically sound about that, amen? But you understand something, folks. You don't go through a test to prove your faith to God. You go through a test to prove your faith to you. You go through a test so you can learn that God is sufficient and God is my source, and God will be enough. You go through a test to learn I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for me. He comes through so many times, and that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that God will take care of you and me, because I've been through enough to know He'll be enough for you and me. See, understand something, folks. When God is pleased, He tells you. But when God is pleased, He tests you. But there's something else I want you to see. When God is pleased, He thrusts you out. Oh, I tell you, folks, I can't help it. I'm just so enjoying this. Because there's things coming from me that... coming through me that I know are not from me. When God is pleased, He thrust you out. See, look what the Bible says in Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of Him all throughout the region about Him. Here's what I want you to see. God told him, I'm pleased with you. God put him through 40 days of testing, but right after the test, God said, now's when I'm going to really use you. Many times, right after your heart's been torn out, that's when God uses you greatly. Many times, right when you've been through the most difficult thing in your life, that's when God puts you out there. That's when God thrusts you out. See, no, you say, oh, but Brother Benny, you don't realize I've been set back. Oh, God didn't set you back. He was just setting you up. He was just setting you up. What God was doing, God was taking all that pain. God was taking all that hail. God was taking all that heartache. And He was just getting you right where He could thrust you out and really use your life. That's what the Lord does. God said, I'm going to turn that pain into the passageway of the greatest blessing in your life. What I'm going to do, I'm going to turn all that hurt into a halo. What I'm going to do, I'm going to turn all that test into a testimony. And you're not going to have the monies. You're going to have victory. You're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be the overcomer. You're going to be a victor and not a victim. That's what the Lord's going to do, folks. See, let me tell you something. The devil will tell you, get this, come up real close. I hope that camera comes up real close. The devil will tell you, because of your past, you're finished. The devil will tell you that. But let me tell you something, folks. He's a liar. He's the father of all liars. And the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that He works all things for our good. He works all things for our good. And if the Bible is true, folks, He worked the divorce for your good. He worked the death for your good. He worked the affair for your good. He worked the addiction for your good. He worked the betrayal for your good. He worked the bankruptcy for your good. God takes what seems so bad and God turns around and He uses it for good, because He's a good, good Father and He's a good, good God. You say, well, Brother Benny, let me tell you something. I used to, somebody would be with me, maybe in ministry, and they'd walk away. And God spoke to me one day and He said, Benny, your destiny, it's not tied to those people who walked out. And friend, your destiny is not tied to the people who walked out of your life. God's still got a plan for your life. God's still got a purpose for your life. God's still wanting to use you in a wonderful way. Let me tell you something, folks. I've been preaching all these years, a ton of years. Every once in a while, I know that God's given me a word for such a time as this. And in this service, God gave me that. When God is pleased, He tells you. When God's pleased, He tests you. When God's pleased, He thrusts you out. But let me tell you something. When God's pleased, He teams you up with others. Think about this. He said, Jesus, I'm pleased with you. Jesus, you're going to go through 40 days, 40 nights of testing. Jesus, I'm going to thrust you out. But look what he did. Look what he did in Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Little old body of water. It's almost like a lake, folks. 7 miles wide, 13 miles long, 200 feet deep at the deepest point. And he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Pete the big fisherman, and Andrew his brother, guy that was always bringing people to Jesus, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. He saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets, and they followed him. Let me tell you something. When you're pleased, when God's pleased with you, he'll bring people into your life. When God's pleased with you, he'll want you to be a part of a team. That's why I'm so excited about this fall. We're launching life groups. What is it? It's just a group of people that do life together. It's just a small group that does life together. Because, folks, we all need each other. Mama said, Johnny, go to sleep. He said, I'm scared. She said, Johnny, go to sleep. He said, I'm scared. Mommy, sleep with me. No, I can't. Jesus is sleeping with you, Johnny. Johnny said, oh, Mama, I need somebody with skin on. Sometimes we need somebody with skin on. We need people. That's why we ought to all be a part of a group, a small group, because we need people. Is it biblical to join a church? It's very biblical to join a church. Very biblical. That's why everybody ought to be a part of a church family. We're a family. We're a family, folks. You say, well, we all look different. That's okay. We may even fuss and fight a little bit, but we're still family. We're family. And we're all family. Everybody's welcome to be a part of this family. I could care less if you're wealthy or on welfare. You're welcome to be a part of this family. Listen. It matters not to me. You said, Brother Benny, it matters not to me if you're pink, purple, black, or white. That matters not. You're welcome to be a part of this family. That matters not. That matters not. And when race becomes an issue of whether or not people can be a part of Rock Springs Church, Benny Tate is resigning that day. All people are welcome because we all need each other. Let me tell you something, folks. God wants you to be a part of a church family. God wants you to be a part of people because God teams us up. Jesus needed people. You say, well, I'm a Lone Ranger. Well, even he had Tonto, amen? We all need people. This week, I did something unique. I went and had lunch with a lady in Memphis. She and I had a wonderful lunch. I've been meaning to tell you about it, Barbara. She was 85 years old. Her name was Joyce Rogers. Her husband was my hero in ministry. He went to be with the Lord in 2005. His name was Adrian Rogers. I've heard Adrian say 1,000 times, if you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please. But if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. I don't know how you are, folks, but I want to please the Lord, don't you? I hadn't always pleased him, but I sure want to please him. I want to please him more than I want to do anything. Adrian used to say, I'd rather eat dirt than sin against God. Man, if that'd been my case, I'd eat a lot of dirt. But I want to please God. I want to please him. A musician, pianist, had a great concert. He was a Liberace, Dino Karsanakis. He was a great pianist. The people were spellbound by this young man as he played. As he concluded the concert, He received a standing ovation. But there was no gray-headed man on the second row. He didn't stand. He didn't clap. And the pianist walked off the stage, and he was dejected. And his friend backstage said, "I don't understand. You got a standing ovation." Everybody was pleased, but that one old man on the second row. And he said, "That one old man on the second row was my teacher. I wanted to please him more than I wanted to please them all." Ladies and gentlemen, pleasing him is more important than pleasing them all. It's more important than pleasing them all. Is my life pleasing to God?
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.